Welcome to Pretty Lies and Alibis. Let's seek the truth and travel the long road to justice together. What you know, alibiers? Welcome to another episode of Pretty Lies and Alibis. I'm Gigi. We are on day 14 of this trial, y'all. It is just ticking away every day. Real quick, big thank you to Blue Rose Ryder, Norma, Elizabeth, Mabel, Main Street Law, W Main Street Law, Murray, Susie, Steph, and Cesaret. And also, big thank you to all the alibiers that I've got to meet today. There were a lot of y'all in that courthouse. I love it. Thank you guys for taking a minute to say hello. It makes my day. All right, music fact of the day, the band Toto. I tell you what, man, they got some good songs. Africa's their most popular, but their greatest hits album is so good. But the name Toto, a lot of people assumed, obviously, the Wizard of Oz, but it's taken from the Latin words in toto, which means all-encompassing. And with the significance of that selection being that the band brought together so many genres and areas of specialization, they could do anything and everything. So all-encompassing Toto, there you go. There's still no place left home though, right? In fact, I had a great weekend with my kids. I will not be in court Friday. Kathy Russin from Law and Crime's going to come fill in and keep you guys updated. I'm taking my youngest to see Taylor Swift. If anybody's got a hookup to let my child meet Taylor Swift, get in touch with me. I swear to God, I'd be mom of the year. I already am with these tickets, but man, I'd give anything. All right, let's get to it. So who was there today? Well, from Lori's family, we had Summer Shiflett, her sister, who is on the witness list. Her uncle and her niece were also there today. I noticed Lori looked a lot more put together this morning. She must have known they were coming. Now, from what I hear, Summer's testimony is going to revolve around another jailhouse phone call that apparently is pretty intense, maybe more intense than the one we heard with Colby. We will see. I'm sure she'll be up this week at some point because she is here in town. We started the day back off with Detective Stubbs from Rexburg PD on the stand. Remember Thursday, it's been a minute. We left off after they did that search warrant of the townhomes there in Rexburg after that welfare check. So they felt like Melanise's townhome, which was number 174, may have some signs that JJ had been there. So they looked in there. Her name was on apartment 107 on that lease, but she was living in 175, which was Alex's apartment. But get this, in Melanise's apartment, they found many credit cards belonging to Melanise and her ex-husband, Brandon. There were multiple things connected to Brandon in her apartment. They didn't elaborate on what multiple things were, but inquiring minds want to know. So Detective Stubbs went through the procedures of how you get a search warrant for a cell phone. They look for any kind of communications, emails, photos, any kind of transactions, that sort of thing when they get all that back. Companies like Google, Facebook, Fitbit, things like that, they'll store things on your phone. But when you're dealing with Apple or Google, you have to write additional warrants to account for the data that they have stored in order to get that. Now they'll return a ton of data. And then they also send a certification of the records and an affidavit saying that this is true and an accurate copy of the data stored for that account. They essentially give you what you've asked for. So in the relation to the murders, they sent 20 or 21 search warrants for digital information. He had a graphic to show the findings. And Lori was very involved today. She was talking with her attorneys, writing in her book. She seemed very smiley. She smiled at me once. She smiled at several people sitting inside. But the warrants that they served, a phone for Lori, which was from Verizon, email accounts connected to Lori, Chad, and Alex, 18 phone numbers that were billed to that P.O. box in Sugar City, in Lori's name. Those were Verizon accounts. And also, if you remember, she used the name, I believe, Lori Ryan to rent that P.O. box. There were two emails on Alex's abandoned computer there at the townhomes. They split town, didn't even grab their laptop. One is homerjmaximus@gmail.com. And the other is raylamar@gmail. And that's R-E-H. Way back when this story broke, me and Fruit Loop did a lot of research and found a lot of social media stuff, especially for this Homer J. Maximus account. Creepy stuff, just gross stuff. He was a weirdo. They took numbers that they could associate with the parties, but needed to know their location. And they asked for a, what they call a pin tap and a trace. And that allows them to locate the phones in real time. So Lori, Alex, Chad, and Tylee's phone had the pin trace put on it to try and locate them. At this point, the kids are missing. Nobody knows where anybody is. They've all split town. But this helped them locate devices in Hawaii that belong to Tylee, Chad, and Lori. So on those warrants served in Hawaii, they found 10 electronic devices in Chad and Lori's rental in Hawaii. There was a Samsung and LG phone also found in the townhouse and two phones belonging to Melanise. There was a notebook in the car in Hawaii that had a whole page of emails and phone numbers. They wrote warrants for those phone numbers and emails. Then on Smule, which is a singing app, I should probably post some of these songs of like Lori singing Cool Rider from Grease 2. Y'all, I'm gonna be nice. But after they found the kids, they wanted to see exactly where these phones were pinging. They served four warrants. A geofence, it locates devices and it puts it in this circle. It's like 250 meter circle from the center of Chad's property. And if you do the same little balloon and balloon it out to Lori's place at the townhomes, they asked Google for any phone between those 250 meters at key dates and times between those two locations. They did the geofence to be sure they weren't leaving anybody out who may have been involved that they did not know about. It's a way to take all these devices common to all these areas and see if they need to look at anybody else who might have been involved. They never found anybody else who would be in common to both locations on those key dates of the murders and burying the bodies. Only Alex's phone had common dates and times in those areas, so it's going to be like we've all theorized, I think, that Alex probably murdered the kids and was there burying them. We know Lori's not around when the dirty stuff happens. She's elsewhere. She's in Hawaii. And that's something that her defense is pointing out to witnesses, which is, where was Lori when Tammy Daybell was murdered? Well, she was in Hawaii. And they're doing what they can do. I think that they have had an uphill battle with her not using mental health as a defense. And so they're just reiterating to the jury, she wasn't there when this happened, but that's also why she's charged with conspiracy, because you don't have to be there. You don't have to physically murder somebody. If you're in on it and somebody gets murdered, you're going down with some conspiracy charges at least. Now, for Google, they had a lot of search warrants. There were some Gmail accounts. One is 144dancer with the number 4life at Gmail. The next one is reh.lei76 at gmail.com, lori.ryan@gmail.com, tylee.ryan24@gmail. They did get data from those. I'm sure we're going to hear maybe later on what was found. They had 12 devices on Google and then an additional 10 that they found. So after getting information for the 10 devices, they asked Google to find out who these people were, and Google didn't respond. They reach out again. Finally, Google sent the information to them. They took a lot of the devices that different agencies examined, and they decided to get an independent expert to go through the devices as well. And this person is out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So they took these devices to this person to analyze. Now, the last known number Lori was using, this was searched in 2019. They focused on this because this was the last communication with Lori and authorities on November 26th, which was the welfare check. Then that's when everybody split town and disappeared. They tried to contact Lori, Chad, and Alex with no luck. So they wanted to see where they went. And they show an exhibit showing the search warrant for the Google emails and phone numbers that was prepared by Detective Stubbs and the FBI. They show a document, which is an attachment to the warrant with names, numbers, emails, and things like that associated with the key players in this group. Some of the numbers were highlighted on the document. It was really hard to see. It wasn't zoomed in. I have my glasses on still, just like some scribble up on that screen. But Melanie, Alex, Lori, and Tylee had two numbers. They found burner phones, and some of those numbers they had on the screen was on that list. Now, Chad's burner phone was on this list as well. These companies keep track of burner phones. So if you log into your Google account on a burner phone, well, gigs up. The burner phone is going to be found out as soon as they get their stuff back from Google. And also the accounts were associated with phone numbers. So they're morons. I would say there were probably 30 plus phone numbers on that list. Now, on the list was Homer J. Maximus, which is Alex Cox. This return from Google had location data, search histories, emails, things like that. That was shared with other agencies, including the FBI and the CAST unit. What the CAST unit does, we learned about this in the Wagner trial, if you followed that one with me. They're specialized in looking into location pings. And some of this testimony got very, very technical, where they're talking about, here's a colored circle, here's a colored circle, this is a good area, this is not a great area, and this is kind of an in the middle, and I'm not going to get into it because it's really convoluted and clearly totally out of my understanding capacity. But he also got a return on some of Lori's accounts, that Lori 4 style with the number 4, and then lollytimeforever@gmail.com. Chad had chad.daybell@gmail.com. They looked at his search history. So Mr. Thomas was up for, or he objects because the data was on a little thumb drive, and he asked where the envelope was for that thumb drive. And he asked Detective Stubbs, how can you be sure that's the same thumb drive? Detective Stubbs says, well, it's got the same numbers on here. And he asks if he thinks it could have been altered. Of course, Detective Stubbs said no. And so he just objects to it being brought in because he says that Detective Stubbs can't say for sure what's on that thumb drive. But on the flip side, Rachel Smith points out, hey, you can still see the previous sticker with the exhibit number from when he used it before. I'm wondering if maybe when he testified before the grand jury, Judge Boyce said he would let that come in provisionally, but tells Detective Stubbs if anything is different to please let the court know. These are Google records that have already been previously admitted anyway, but Chad's search history for September 8th, 2019, this was in the afternoon. This is the day before Tylee was buried on his property. We know he searched for the wind direction, what that would be for the next day on September 9th, which was the date Tylee was buried. January 2019, there was a Verizon bill from Lori's P.O. box in Sugar City with various numbers. It was mostly family members of the Vallow and Cox family. If you remember, Charles was paying over $1,000 a month for pretty much all of Lori's family to have cell phones. And so I'm not sure if she was getting that bill sent there or what. But Prosecutor Smith is having the witness look at the thumb drive to verify the contents at this point. But Mr. Thomas still objects, and he says that they've agreed to only put one file on a thumb drive because when this is sent back with the jury during deliberations, they don't want to have multiple files from multiple agencies on one thumb drive. But this thumb drive itself is only about Chad's email addresses. So it come in, and that was that. There was a long list of numbers for this Verizon account. It includes multiple phone numbers for Lori and Charles both. Now, the Lollytime Gmail account for Lori. There was a search history of note, August 25th, 2019, for Malachite wedding rings. She went to a website and purchased an 11.5 size ring, which I assume is for Chad, and then a 4.25 size ring. That was for $808. They had information Chad and Lori were seeing each other, and investigators knew Tammy was alive when they saw all this stuff. The warrant showed Lori as the account holder. So her search history on September 20th, definition of possessed was searched. And then September 30th, this is key, how to remove the rear seat of my Jeep Wrangler. And then she proceeded to watch a YouTube video about it. I put out a video not too long. I have a Jeep and I showed how you cannot get that back window up unless that spare tire is removed, which we know they did because they're seen on surveillance taking the back seat and the tire in and out of that storage unit that was full of JJ and Tylee's stuff. On October 22nd, Lori looked for wedding dresses in Kauai. Get this, y'all. Lori, ever classy. This is the same day as Tammy Daybell's funeral. There was also multiple travel plans to and from Hawaii on different airlines under this account. And then on the 9th, we're moving back, of October, that's the day Tammy Daybell was shot at, there was travel to Illinois searched. We know on the next day, the 9th, that Tammy was shot at, Lori was in Missouri seeing all the sacred sites with Melanie and her friend, I believe, Audrey, and maybe Melanie Gibb. I'm not 100% sure on that. But all the returns he got was also given to the cast unit so they could look it over as well. December 2019, Detective Stubbs went to Utah to speak to Tammy's parents, sister, and brother-in-law. And then in January 2020, he gathered evidence about hotels. There was a Hampton Inn and a Motel 6 in Rexburg and in Rigby that was either searched for or bought. That wasn't made clear. That showed various days in September and October. They were already in Hawaii or about to go back to Hawaii. Why are they staying in hotels? Maybe because Chad doesn't want to bring his new wife into the house where he allegedly murdered his wife. Now, we got to see some photos of the wedding. There were a couple I haven't seen. They were married, as we know, November 5th, 2019. The photos were found in their car during that search warrant in Hawaii. So the photos were Chad and Lori hugging. We've seen those. They were in front of a temple in one of these photos. Never seen that one. So it's kind of a selfie. The two of them are up front, temples in the background. There was a wedding photo looking at the beach with their hands locked together, a photo of just their hands showing the malachite rings. And then there was a wedding photo of them looking each other oh so lovingly. And you can see the rings there too. Gag me with a spoon, y'all. There was a photo of Chad and Lori exchanging vows and the minister was in the middle. By the way, I've heard the minister who married them will be called as a witness. And I think I said this on a previous episode, but he actually had to have counseling after he found out this whole story. We got to see the famous ukulele photo of Chad in his white wedding outfit trying to play the ukulele. And then there's one where Chad's kind of scooped Lori up and he's holding her and he's kissing her. Mr. Thomas comes up for cross. He asks the witness to go over his forensic training and he goes way back. The witness says he started in 2010, started working on computers. 50% or more of his work involves this kind of work. And they talk about the training he's had in the past year. So they talk about Cellbright training. And then Mr. Thomas says you pull off information looking into someone's life from that device. Yeah, that's what happens when you get a search warrant. But Mr. Thomas says the geofence data from Chad and Lori's places Alex being there, not Lori, at Chad's the day Tylee was buried. And that's true. He talks about the burner phones and he mentions, you said usually drug users use those. You weren't saying Chad and Lori were dealing drugs. Detective Stubbs says, no, I didn't think that. And Mr. Thomas says they're also for regular people that essentially like can't afford a monthly plan. The USB thumb drive with Google searches for Chad included the search history about wind direction for the day that Tylee was buried. And Mr. Thomas asked Detective Stubbs, who lives in Rexburg and knows apparently the wind only moves in a couple of directions in Rexburg, but I wasn't sure where they were going with that. But he asked why this was important. And Detective Stubbs said Chad looked for September the 9th, the day Tylee was buried, and never before had he Googled wind direction that they could find. So Mr. Thomas said that's speculation, and Detective Stubbs says, yes, it is. Mr. Thomas asked if Detective Stubbs knows Lori's ring size, and he says, nope. He says 11 and a half and 4 1/4 was searched for. He also said, you don't know what ring size Alex and Zulema are. And Detective Stubbs says no. So Cross was over. Rachel Smith got up for redirect. And she mentions that he is part of the Internet Crimes Against Children here in Idaho. He works with the Department of Homeland Security with those investigations. He does record collection and analysis for several counties, and he's on a task force. Burner phones, she points out, are commonly used by people when they are trying to hide their criminal behavior or bad actions like connections and relationships to other people. And Detective Stubbs says in his experience, yes, he has seen it used for things like that frequently. So the malachite searches were on the account belonging to Lori, and she asks if there are neighbors north of Chad's property about a quarter of a mile away, and would they get wind from the south or southwest? And essentially, the wind direction that was happening on September 9th would have went to these neighbors like a quarter of a mile away. On Recross, we go to the Lolly Time Forever account for Lori. It says, did you ever see anything from Lori that says, will you kill my kids? Let's kill the kids. And he says no. And he didn't review all of the accounts, but Mr. Thomas says, but you were part of this team. And he says, yes. Mr. Thomas asks if there's any data from Lori about killing her kids. Detective Stubbs says no. So he was finished with his testimony. Next up, the state called Nicole Heidman. She's with the FBI and was an evidence technician prior to her current role. And she's looked into the murders of Charles and Tammy and the attempted murder of Brandon. She searched Lori and Chad's Google searches. When they gave this exhibit to the defense, Lori was looking all over those internet searches, by the way. Mr. Thomas objects and says these summaries are not complete. He says there's an 8 on Chad and a 9 on Lori's. And she said it's the relevant search findings. He said towards your theory of the case. And she said the law enforcement theories. So he doesn't object to it coming in. So back on direct, the searches on January 28th, 2019, Chad's searches for Ned Schneider at Louisiana on January 31st, 2019. Chad searched Ned Schneider, Louisiana obituary, 1997. On March 6, 2019, he searches for the date June 26, which is Lori's birthday. And that's the star sign is a Cancer. And he wanted to know if that and a Leo are compatible. Now, May 4th was Tammy's birthday. And also there was a search, are Leo and Taurus compatible? On May 5th, 2019, he searched for malachite, eBay malachite jewelry. On June 1st, Iplos. Actually, the searches of interest for Chad started on October 1st, 2018. So we're going to jump to October 8th, 2019, the Rhode Island area code. One of his burner phones had a 401 area code, and it's also the day the phone went active was on the 8th. Now, that's the day before Tammy Daybell was shot out. How convenient that his burner phone is activated. So Lori's search history in 2019, May 7th, malachite. July 21st, Gerber Life Policy, life insurance for children, the grow-up plan. Now, we ultimately found out they found no proof any of the children had life insurance policies, but it's curious she would be looking for that, and we are getting, this is 10 days after Charles's murder. On July 26th, she searched for Phoenix Pet Services, Craigslist, cell service dog. That bothered some of the jurors, by the way. You could see they did not like that. August 25th, she searched for wedding bands, malachite. September 20th, Tylee has been murdered. JJ has not yet. Kennedy Elementary phone number. And also, she searched for define possession. On September 24th, Kennedy Elementary Rexburg phone number. On September 30th, how to get the back seat out of my Jeep Wrangler. Jeep Wrangler JK rear seat removal DIY. On October 2nd, Gilbert, Arizona News. This was the attempted murder of Brandon at that time. And then October 22nd, wedding dresses in Kauai. Now that's 3 days after Tammy Daybell's murder. We're going to talk about a jump drive that was admitted. This will go through phone calls for Lori, Chad, and Alex. Chad had 9 numbers total. 3 of those phone numbers were of interest. Lori and Alex both had 6 phone numbers, with 3 of those being of interest. And they focused on these phone numbers due to the communications with each other during relevant time frames. And also, they were the most frequently used phone numbers they had. So for Chad, the last 4 was 9374. He subscribed to Tammy since March 17th, 2018. There was a Hawaii rental agreement on there December 15th, 2019. Tammy had him saved as Chad in her phone. There was SMS messages associated with Chad's email. And then there was also a Citibank account in Chad's name. Also, Bishop Shumway is what this number was stored in Lori's phone as. And then also Dad in his kids' phones. So Chad's full, Lord, here we go with the Boyd dial, which is Chad. There were 2 Boyd dials identified in the country. And guess what? They were interviewed by the FBI. Can you imagine your name being Boyd dial and the FBI comes knocking on your door? We need to talk to you for a minute. There was no connection, obviously. So there was a phone number for Chad, 5126. It was active on October 31st, 18 through January 31st, 2019. That was saved as Melanie 2 in Lori's phone. Number 5496, that was active January 31st, 2019 through July 1st, 2019. It was saved as the name Janie on Lori's account. There was a number ending in 0143. It was saved as Rebecca Shumway in Lori's phone and also Bubby in Lori's phone. That was active July 1st, 2019 through October 8th, 2019. So that's the day before Tammy was murdered. This is the phone number that called the Valley of the Sun Mortuary on July 11th, 2019, the very day Charles Vallow was murdered by Lori's brother, Alex Cox. There was a text from Lori with a flight confirmation for Chad. And then on August 11th, Lori texts Chad, birthday kisses all over. And then there was a the last four digits, 8260. This was the first contact in Alex's phone. It was saved as Bishop Miller on Lori's phone. There was a text from Chad to Lori, I will call right now from a 401 number. That's that Rhode Island number that he activated. The only people he contacted from this number were Lori and Alex. This was used after the murders, but refer to Lori as Lily and Chad as Raphael. Also, James and Elena, the names from Loinfire. And then the next number, 7288, there was a group text. Hi, this is Dad. So this is Chad texting his kids. Also, it was saved as Raphael in Zulema's phone. The last 4 of this phone number is 9585, and the iCloud account attached, James loves Elena at iCloud.com. Isn't that very middle school? Man, what the charmer. There was a text to the Daybell kids on December 14th. Hi, this is Chad. I mean, Dad, maybe. I don't know. Americans spend an average of 90% of their time indoors. According to the EPA, indoor air could be 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air. And in some cases, it could be 100 times more polluted. We take about 20,000 breaths per day. That's almost 3 gallons of possibly polluted air. Airborne allergens are the most common allergy triggers, such as pollen, pet dander, dust mites, and mold. Look, I love my animals, but they make me sneeze. But since I've been using Air Doctor, I don't have to take my allergy medicines, and I see a huge decrease in the amount of dust in my house. That's a win-win. What's the solution? Air Doctor filters out dangerous contaminants and allergens so your lungs don't have to. Air Doctor uses an ultra HEPA filter that's been independently tested to remove 99.99% of tested bacteria and viruses. The classic Air Doctor 3000 purifier is powerful enough to circulate the air in a 630-plus square foot room four times per hour. And the Whisper Jet fans are 30% quieter than the fans in ordinary air purifiers. So, Air Doctor comes with a no questions asked 30-day money back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. So head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code WHATTHEWORLD. And depending on the model, you'll receive up to 39% off. Let me tell you all about our sponsor of the week, Pros. There's no one-size-fits-all solution when it comes to hair care, and that's because your hair and your hair goals are completely unique. My hair is dry and frizzy. I wanted to get rid of these problems. Thanks to my personalized Pros routine, I can honestly say I've never been in more love with my hair. First, Pros asked me for my hair goals, which was smoother hair with color protection. Their in-depth consultation also asks about you as a person. Pros ask me really unexpected things like my age, hair length, do I get split ends, and even my zip code, so that Pros can factor in the environment my hair lives in. Next, Pros analyzed all my answers and handpicked clean ingredients to help me reach my hair goals. I used the Scalp Remedy, Clarifying Cleanse, Color Extending Shampoo, and the Smoothing Solution Volume Building Conditioner. I also used the Boris Hairbrush that makes my hair super smooth. My hair is completely different. The frizz is gone and it's so much softer. All their ingredients are sustainably sourced, ethically gathered, and cruelty-free. They're also the first custom beauty brand to go carbon neutral. If you're not 100% positive Pros is the best care hair you've had, they will take the products back, no questions asked. Pros is the key to achieving all your hair goals this year. Take your free in-depth hair consultation and get 15% off your first order today. Go to pros.com/whattheworld. That's Pros, PROSE.com/whattheworld for your free in-depth hair consultation and 15% off. Lori's phone numbers. So they looked from January 31st, 2019 to December 28th, 2019. Last four of this one is 4652. It was connected to the Lori Four Style at Hotmail and the Lolly Time account. There was no subscriber name. There were flight records for Allegiant Airlines, and it saved as Lori and Lily in Melanesa's phone. The Delta flight record used that kkwalker75@yahoo.com email address, which is the same email she sent the bogus email to Chad pretending to be Charles to come ghostwrite the book and all that jazz. There was a contact number also for a wedding quote for Hawaii. Another phone for Lori, 5452. It was given to Chandler police when Charles was killed. There was an instant message to Peter Dickinson. Hi, this is Lori Vallow, saved as Lolo Vallow and Lily on Melanesa's phone. Alex Cox's numbers, last four of 9120, it was given to Chandler PD when he murdered Charles. It had been effective since February of 2015, and those emails associated with this phone number was the HomerJMaximus@gmail.com and then HomerJMaximus@yahoo.com. Saved as Alex Cox on Lori's two contact lists. It also had a flight record for here. The IMEI of that phone matched his email. No subscriber name, but the account ID of RayMaximus@gmail.com, and that's R-E-H. That's how he spells Ray. Number 4205, that was a Samsung Galaxy from the Rexburg apartment that they found that he left behind. There was no subscriber name, but RayLamar@gmail.com was the email that was registered under. It was also saved as Spencer's wife on Lori's iCloud. I've got to go back to my connecting the dots series now because some of these names are starting to come in and I don't think I knew some of these. So this witness was tasked with looking for wedding planning for Lori and Chad, and she kept agents up to speed on her findings and they brought some PowerPoints in. Mr. Thomas objects and says there were only a few pages and they're irrelevant. And one page contains 404B evidence, the prior bad acts. The agent reviewed Lori for style and she recovered some documents Thomas doesn't want this in. Lindsay Blake, who's the prosecutor, said these were discovered in her iCloud, and this is already in evidence. Mr. Thomas says he doesn't know if these were to or from Lori, and that would be significant to know for him. Judge Boyce says with the theory of the state, their theory of motive, he would overrule but ask the source of the information. So the FBI agent was able to tell these messages were saved as documents in the Lori Forstyle account. So Judge Boyce is like, yep, it can come in. The other objection was that 404B concern. Judge Boyce says it references Arizona. And he said the 404B in this instance would be allowed. The jury will be instructed before deliberation. So it all came in. So evidence of wedding planning. We know a lot of this stuff, but let's go through it. There were two documents on that Lori Forstyle account found. Number one, seven archangels, references to Raphael and James the Just, which we know both of those are names that Chad referred to himself as. There's also a reference to Tuesday, and they got married on a Tuesday, and she thought that was significant. We'll get to what Mr. Thomas said. The second document was Presiding Council of Archangels. It contains similar names and Elena and Lily and a combination of both those names. Who knows what the heck those documents were about, y'all? But you could just imagine after hearing all this hogwash for a while. She said there were similarities to the day Tuesday and the color green. In May of 2019, both Chad and Lori separately searched for malachite. August 14th, 2019, that was the failed glow-in-the-dark malachite ring purchase on Etsy. That was going to be shipped to the Arizona home where Charles was killed, but the owner was busy and could not fulfill that order, so it was canceled. There was a successful purchase on October 2nd, 2019. This was before the attempt on Tammy and also before her murder. When they put the description into Amazon, it pulled up the same ring they were seen in on their wedding day photos. They were bought on Charles's Amazon after he was dead. The same day, there's a second ring purchase on Charles's Amazon. It was a man's 11 and a half and returned and repurchased as a size 11 on November 4th, the day before the wedding. The size 11 was then returned for a size 10. This was after Tammy's murder. This is the ring they believe he kept. So there's a text from Chad to Lori on July 13th, 2019. This is 2 days after Charles's murder on this Lolly Time account. Chad talks about his kids. A couple of them, I guess, are graduating college. So his sons-in-law would be in town. And he said he may not be able to be with her until that's over. Chad says, love you. Going with Garth in an hour to see Side of Heaven 2. Miss you desperately. Lori says, you'll love it. Chad to Lori, not as much as I love you. Lori says, I love you. You'll enjoy the scenery. It looks like Hawaii a lot. Hopefully we will be there someday soon together. And Chad says, that's my plan and greatest desire. So then on November 30th, 2019, Lori inquires about that Kauai wedding, wanting to be married on November 5th, 2019, which was a Tuesday. And on screen, they showed their marriage license and a photo from the wedding. You know, one thing about Lori, she was looking at Summer, trying to make a connection. She would kind of raise her eyebrows and smile. I could not see Summer if she reciprocated that, but Lori was definitely trying to get a look in at her sister and get some kind of a response back. I have this in my notes here. They object to the reference of them saying Tylee, JJ, and Tammy were killed on the dates they were killed. He will allow for admission, Judge Boyce, but some things stated as fact have not been proven as fact at this time. What dates did Lori and Chad visit Temple prior to their marriage together? November 16th, 2018 in Gilbert, Arizona. April 3rd, Idaho Falls. This is 2019 now. April 27th in Houston. September 7th, the day before Tylee is last seen in Yellowstone, Chad and Lori go to Temple in Idaho Falls. September 17th, September 28th, and October 29th, they go to the Temple in Rexburg. They have a selfie of Chad and Lori at the bottom of this slide, and they're posing in front of the Temple. Now, JJ was last seen alive on September 22nd in that photo on Lori's iCloud account where he is in those red PJs that ultimately he was found buried in. So the state points out these murders were happening and there were temple visits between the dates and the murders. So defense attorney Thomas comes up for cross. And this lady is an analyst, and prior to that, she worked in evidence. So Mr. Thomas talks about search activity for Chad. January 2019, Ned Schneider, 1996 death, Louisiana. He asked what she found when she researched that same phrase. And she said, we looked at the history, but we didn't see what he was searching for. In other words, do the search. Mr. Thomas really kind of jumped on this and said, you didn't look into what he was doing? Any reason? What was so significant about that? And she said the name was significant because, as we know, the first demon that possessed Charles was Ned Schneider. And then on January 31st, there's a Google search for obituary Ned Schneider. And again, Mr. Thomas asked, you didn't look into any of these? She said, other than the area code for Rhode Island, no. So Mr. Thomas says, you weren't tasked with finding significance, just names. She said things that we were aware of appeared in the search history. He moves on to the evidence of wedding planning. And he said two documents that were discovered about the archangels. She made reference to Raphael and also Tuesday. He asked what is significant about both of those. And she said they were married on a Tuesday. And she said it's really the totality of the Malachite rings, married on a Tuesday. And then Mr. Thomas asked, what else is significant about Tuesday? Did the kids or Tammy die on a Tuesday? And she said, no. Mr. Thomas said, would it be surprising if I told you the kids died on a Monday? And she said, no. He also points out the rings were not manufactured specifically for Chad and Lori. The FBI agent said the first order actually was going to be custom made, but she can't speak for the others. So Mr. Thomas asks if she looked into that and she said no. He says, well, we have two rings. You don't know if they're special order. We know they weren't the right size. And she says, that's correct. He asks what size ring Chad and Lori. Well, she said, well, I assume that they're a 10 and a 4.5. But then Mr. Thomas, do you know what size Alex and Zulema are? Did you research that? And she says, no. So there was a text from Chad to Lori on July 13th, 2 days after Charles's murder. Thomas says that was a Saturday. Any significance? She says, no. He reads the BYUI graduation text and asks, would it surprise you that it was on a Tuesday? And she said, no. So he also says Lori wanting a beach wedding on a Tuesday has lost its significance. And she said the significance is just in the totality. Standalone, no, there's no significance. They go on to the temple attendance visits for Lori and Chad. He asked, do you see when the visits start? She says Lori starts on October 8th, 2015. Chad starts October 8th, 2018. The last for Lori was November 20th of 2019 and Chad the same day. Mr. Thomas says Chad and Lori went to the temple 7 times together and asked if she asked about anyone else going with them to the temple. She said no, the records they received were only for Chad and Lori. So then he asks again, you don't know if they were with a group? And she says no. So Mr. Thomas says, this is a small fraction of when they went to the temple, right? And she agreed, yes. He asked, what was the tie-in to the temple visits when the murders happened? And she said, some of the visits occurred within a short time frame to those murders. He points out the last one before Charles was 3 months prior. And she said, that's up for interpretation. And he said, well, that's why you're here. He was getting a little feisty. He says the visit on September 7th was significant because Tylee was allegedly killed on the 8th. And she said, potentially. That's why it was significant. And then he says, well, why make the chart if you don't believe it? And then there's an objection that's sustained. He said, the way you're portraying it is that these temple visits were relevant to the times of the murder. She said she can't say the purpose of those visits to the temple. There was an objection for being argumentative, and it was sustained. This might be the toughest I've ever seen him on a witness. And most of the cross isn't anything really disputing a lot of the things that they're testifying to. It's more, did you do this? No. Did you do that? No. It's kind of been more pointed towards the witnesses themselves. And that's kind of how they're rolling with it right now. So Chad, Lori, and Alex had three main phones during relevant time frames. Mr. Thomas says, is it uncommon for people to have more than one phone? And she says no. Lori's phone that ended in 5452, he mentions, she said this was subscribed to Premier Financial Services. That's a company that Lori and Charles owned together. And he asked, did you know that? And she said, I may have at some point. So for Alex, there were two different phones with Google accounts attached to those. And there were dates for the phone number ending in 5998 for September 27th of 2019 through 12/28 of 2019. And he asked, what does this mean? And she said, this is how long the phone was active. Now, Alex died December 12th of 2019. So Mr. Thomas asks about some of the searches done for Gerber Life Insurance and other terms. He asks if they were separate searches or were these all one search? And she said both, multiple searches and also a search with a visit to a website. He asked if she can tell what was a search versus what was a site visit. And she said not with this paper, but that she has on the stand, but maybe with her report she could, and she didn't have that. She says she can only testify they were searched that day, though. On July 26, 2019, was that about selling the service dog? She didn't research that. Someone else would have done that. So Miss Lindsay Blake was up for redirect. She said she was just looking for what was searched and what was relevant to the investigation. The witness said that. She passed all that on to investigators, and the searches were before the bodies were found. The wind search became more relevant after the children's bodies were found. Lindsay Blake was pointing out that Mr. Thomas got the days of the week wrong on the deaths of Tammy and the children. Now, this witness will be recalled. This next witness, it was very technical about cell phone pings and data and how they figure out who was where. But Lori was listening really hard to this witness, and it was really hard to comprehend. They talk about the margin of error, like 6 meters sometimes, 3 meters, 43 meters. So at 8:49 a.m., Alex's phone shows he's at his apartment. This is on the morning that Tylee was buried. At 9:15, Alex's phone was showing just south of Chad's house. The margin of error here was 3 to 8 meters. And then by 9:21 a.m., he was within 6 meters of the fire pit. A minute later at 9:22, he was by the gate going into the property. There's a 3 meter margin of error. 10:39 a.m. fire pit area, a 43 meter margin of error. And at 10:57, he was at the fire pit with a 3 meter margin of error. Now, he is not finished. He will still be on tomorrow when we pick back up. I'm curious to see who else is going to be on the stand. I want to see some more phone ping stuff. I've been waiting on that. Anyways, hope you guys have a wonderful evening. I'll be on Banfield about 10:20 tonight, so tune in. And for my Patreon people, we're going to sneak in a live this week at some point. We're going to talk about anything you want to know about what's going on in the courtroom. So I will post that in the Patreon page and appreciate all y'all. I'll be back tomorrow to do the same thing. Hope you have a great night.